Hello, this is Daryl here, sending love as always. Thank you for tuning in. I just want to say, if you like this interview, you can check our website for companion workbooks, action guides, tools, checklists, templates, and show notes with links for everything mentioned on the call. Just visit bestbusinesscoach.ca. That's best, B-E-S-T, businesscoach.ca. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Daryl Urbanski, and welcome to the Best Business Podcast. My mission is to help create 200 new multimillionaire business owners. How? You'll do better when you know better. In my interviews, you'll hear from self-made millionaires, seven-figure business owners, authors, and world-class experts sharing how they did it so you can too, without experiencing the same obstacles they did. Now, if you like this interview, please share it with a friend you think will benefit. They'll appreciate it, and I will as well. You can also connect with me on social media. Look for Daryl Urbanski, D-A-R-Y-L, Urban Ski, U-R-B-A-N-S-K-I, and add me so we can be friends. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy what I've prepared for you right here, right now. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always, and today we are joined by Alex Sharfin. And Alex has dedicated his life to answering the question, how do you make a business grow? Which evolved into a larger calling to understand how do you help people grow? And it was this transition that led Alex, quite unexpectedly, to uncover a previously mislabeled and misunderstood population among us, the entrepreneurial personality type, or EPT. For the past two decades, Alex has created and curated proven business philosophies, models, and strategies geared specifically to entrepreneurs. Expert in business growth with majority ownership in several multi-million dollar businesses, Alex has been invited to share his strategies with business owners across the country and around the world. He's been featured on MSNBC, CNBC, Fox News, The Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and The Huffington Post to provide his unique views and insight. He's here today to share his story with us as well as his message, which I think is really important, because when I first met Alex, how I heard from him was a referral. Someone I get all the time saying, you got to interview this guy, you got to have him on your show. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. But I actually did give him 5 minutes, and I watched one of his videos, and I'm like, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. And I watched a couple more videos, and I poked around a little bit. And now, guys, I'm happy to introduce you to him here today. Alex, thank you for joining us, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Daryl. Thanks for the intro, man. That was awesome.
So, well, yeah. Anyways, can't say it if it wasn't true, right? So,
appreciate it.
Now, I know we've spoken before, and I know a little bit about your background, but a lot of people here, they're maybe just hearing about you. This is the first time they're getting to know you. Like, okay, you know, he's on Daryl's show. He's got this credentials. It's great. But, I mean, how did you even get started? I love that you've identified our personality type, that you speak a lot of the unspoken truths of how people think and feel when they're a business owner, the fears, the worries, the anxieties, the excitement, the passions, the visions. But, like, you didn't just wake up. You weren't born with that. You had to figure it out. So, I mean, how did your journey even start?
You know, that's an interesting question, Daryl. I often, you know, now that we have the archetype, the personality type of the entrepreneurial personality type spelled out, I often share with people, you know, I think my entrepreneurial journey shared with the realization that I was profoundly different than the people around me when I was a little kid. And, you know, I always knew I was different. I knew that I reacted differently to things. I knew that I wasn't, you know, didn't like things like the rest of the kids did. I felt like I was much, much different and struggling. And so, you know, I think a lot of entrepreneurs have that same experience as feeling different or on the outside or maybe not part of the system. You know, I'm really aware of how different that was in my case. And I think that for most entrepreneurs, if you track back, not most, 100% of the ones I know, you ask them, hey, how old were you when you knew you were different? They'll tell you. And we call that one of the first of the three awakenings of the entrepreneurial personality type. You know, the realization we're fundamentally different is part of what makes us an entrepreneur.
Got it. So when did you have your first realization? What was your moment? I mean, you knew when you said you knew you were different as a kid, but is that it? Is that when you...
No, you know, Daryl, I think when I was a kid, I often share with people, you know, I knew I was different than other people the first time I had interaction with people outside my family. You know, I wasn't the same, and I felt very different, very isolated. School was difficult for me. You know, so when I was growing up, my father and I, when I was really young, I started going to my father's office with him. He had a big company. And I think that my attachment to business started very young because the real world was loud and confusing, and I didn't really understand the rules. And when I got to my dad's office, of course, I was the boss's son. But when I got to my dad's office, things were different. You know, I went to this factory he had. There was a context. I liked it. There was rules. I loved it. And when I was 8, that place closed. The business actually failed. And I remember, even that young, having this cognition that, man, like, you do not want businesses to fail. It causes a lot of pain. And so I started asking that question really young. And it was more of an obsession. You know, I was reading business books as a kid. And, you know, and so by the time I was in junior high, high school, I was running businesses the whole time. I sold candy in junior high. I ran a window washing company with enough crews and trucks and stuff. I signed some insurance paperwork. I wasn't even 18. Everybody just assumed I was. I had to sell it. And then I started a company in college with a friend of mine. I sold that when I was 21, moved across the country, and I was working on an earnout. I didn't finish it. I was supposed to work in the company for 12 months and then ended up instead becoming a consultant. And so that's my entrepreneurial journey. But I think that the personal journey that goes along with it is realizing, you know, what makes us so different as people, you know, what makes you and I as entrepreneurs so fundamentally different than the rest of the world.
Yeah, and you articulate it really well. So you said that there are 3 awakenings. I'm curious, like, what is,
yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah. So we think all entrepreneurs, so Daryl, just so that your listeners know, so we have context, like, how old were you when you knew you were different?
Well, that's tough to say. And the reason why I say it's tough to say is that I was adopted as a child. So I knew I was different than my family.
Right away.
Yeah, a young age.
So when did you know you were adopted?
Well, I found out when I was around 11. I was on a road trip with my step-adopted dad. And he pointed, we were going north of Toronto, and he pointed, hey, you know, your husband, your mom's first, you know, husband, he's, you know, he was buried like an hour that way. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah. He's like, but Charles isn't your father. You know that, right? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you're adopted. And I was like, what does that mean? And I spent the rest of the drive, it was like a 6-hour drive, thinking about that. But I always knew before then. And like, then it was like, oh, like, it just made sense. I'm like, oh, I get it now. Because I always felt that I was different. And knew it that way. So, that's
but
what
you thought that the adoption was the reason for the difference, right?
Yeah, but I feel like I've done a lot of traveling around the world, and that, and I feel like, just to be really candid, like, if you've ever read the Dr. Seuss book, like, Are You My Mother? I feel like I traveled around the world, learning different languages, living with different cultures, just trying to like discover my entrepreneurial personality type, you know. And now, 32, I feel like I get who I am now. But I didn't have someone like you to help kind of pave the way, which is why I'm kind of curious about the awakenings, because
So here's the second one. So I love that one. The first one is you know, when you knew you were different, and you knew before 11, right? Mm-hmm. It was just confirmed.
Yes.
Like, oh, hey, this might be a reason. The second one is when we acquired innate motivation, when we started to propel forward. So there's this awakening, and usually seen in retrospect, where it's not extrinsic or external motivation, like psychology says. It's not internal or intrinsic. We just have to go. And psychology says, you know, like, oh, human beings, you turn it on, you turn it off. You have internal, external. Like, you tell me, Daryl, can you turn it off?
No.
When do you remember it turning on? When do you remember the brain? And hey, by the way, when we say, like, can you turn it off? It's not no, it's no.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, like, there's been times you wish you could. Yeah. So how old were you when the flip switched on and it didn't turn off?
I remember I knew the town I grew up in, so I was very frustrated in high school because it just wasn't suited for my learning style. I passed, like, I was okay. And I remember I did this program called Katimovic, where I got to travel Canada for 9 months, and I knew I had to get out of the city when I was 17. I just knew that if I stayed in the city, this town I grew up in, we have penitentiaries, not prisons, in Canada, but it was the penitentiary capital of Canada. I mean, I lived and grew in a good neighborhood, good home, but there's a lot of trouble to get into, and I knew if I stayed here, just because of how, like you say, how active I was, I would have gotten into trouble. So I knew when I was 17, I had to get out of here. And I signed up for this program, Katimovic, and that was it. Like, it was like a breath of fresh air. They kept us so busy with full-time jobs and just extracurricular activities afterwards. Like, we were volunteering every night. So for me, when I was 17, I knew I had to do something, or I was going to go down a debt. Like, you know, I was going to put that energy in the wrong direction. So
did that group give you that, Daryl?
Oh, hands down.
Was there a mentor or a person or someone in there that said, hey, Daryl, you have potential, and then helped show you what it was?
Well, it was. So the way the program worked, it was cool. You spend 3 months in a province and then you move on. And so in every province, you would have a project leader, and they would like be the mom of the house type thing that would live there. And then there was 5 guys, 5 girls, all in one house. And you would each have a volunteer full-time job. And then after you finished work, you were all automatically signed up for whatever community event was going on. Like, you just, the 10 of you would show up and they would just get 10 volunteers. And it was amazing to see what 10 hands could, pairs of hands could accomplish. And it took a bit of
It did. It ticked, you know, I had to be like reeled in a little bit. Like I almost got kicked out my first 30 days in the program. You get like 3 warnings and then you get kicked out. And I was like late and, you know, just jerking or like just fooling around, you know, just not taking things seriously. And then at one point I was like, if I want to stay here, then I need to be like committed to it. And then I was committed to it and I went through the rest of the program and without any problems. And so it's tough to say. There are a lot of mentors, but it was the opportunity to really go out and flex my muscle. And once I was given a chance just of anything, my first job, I was working at an Indian band office. So it's like a native reserve. And I was working on their newsletter and helping organize events. And it was the first time I was given, I felt like any real responsibility. And, you know, I did an amazing job. I mean, pat myself on the back. But at that chance, like I said, I knew around 17, I knew that I was, you know, I just couldn't sit still and I couldn't follow the rules as people wanted me to. And I had to find something, go somewhere. I had to go on like an event. I just had to go. Like you said, I just had to go. I just had to do something.
It's like it just propels you, right? Yeah. You can't turn it off.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And so here's the third awakening. And this one, like I've talked to you before, Daryl, so I'm cheating. I know you had it early. But it's the call of contribution. And we call it the call of contribution. I know that sounds dramatic, but here's why. It's that voice in the back of your head that says, you're here to do more. You need to try harder. Why don't you do something bigger? There's something better here. There's more here. You can give more, contribute more, change things, make it better. And then, you know, at first it's like this little whisper that you think about, and then it starts getting louder. And then it's like literally the only thing you can hear. Do you hear this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Scale of 1 to 10. How loud is that for you right now?
Well, right now I'd say it's probably like an 8. I mean, that's the reason why I'm interviewing you right now, because after having helped generate over $1 million, I felt like with my skill set, you know, even if I never reached for a high star, my kids would have food on the table. Like I, you know, as a marketer, like I can generate money. Like, you know, that's boom, done. But, you know, having talked with a friend when they were saying, if I knew the people you knew and could have the conversations you were having with them, I'd be doing multi-million-dollar marketing campaigns too. And that's when the idea for the podcast came out, because I have a phenomenal network. And so that was when, and you know, for, I've been running this, I haven't sold anything of my own, like for, you know, almost a year now. I've just been promoting this and giving away as like a side project, just because I want to help others, because I know what it was like when I was trying to put the pieces together and I was spending a ton of money and have garbage mentors and go through all these programs and be like, really, that's it? Like I went through 10 hours of this for this one lesson, like buried deep in lesson 8. Like that was the only content you had, you know? And so I just wanted to put good stuff out there. So that's kind of, yeah, that's why we're having
this. So you hear it, right? But Daryl, I want to pressure test something. You said an 8 out of 10, right?
Yes.
So, and like, I'm going to call a little entrepreneurial BS on you, because watch, let me show you, watch. So Daryl, you were making a lot of money, right?
Yes.
And was it enough?
No.
Why?
Because it wasn't even about the money.
What was it about?
It was just about pursuing my vision of excellence. Didn't
matter.
But
what does that really mean?
It means that I don't really clock in and clock out. I just am very, very goal-oriented and focused. And
but the goal to do what? Goal to be excellent?
The goal to have purpose and meaning in my life.
What is purpose and meaning?
Purpose and meaning is to do something that's going to have a lasting impact, something greater than myself.
Isn't that a contribution?
Pardon?
Isn't that a contribution?
It is a contribution.
Is it an 8 out of 10?
It's much more than 8 out of 10.
Yeah. See, and here's why I did that. Here's why I always stop entrepreneurs, because here's the thing, man. We are trained to say things like, I want to make money and I'm going to do this other thing and I have this business plan and all these things. But you know what? Here's the fact. Every entrepreneur in their heart of hearts, at the base of what they do, is they are making a contribution. It might not look like that to the individual who's observing that entrepreneur, because they say, how can the guy who make boxes be making a contribution? But the fact is, you know, and I know that every entrepreneur out there is hardwired to help those around them. Here's the shortcut. Like, I'm a capitalist. I think we all need to make a lot of money. And I think it's our birthright, our responsibility, and it's who we are as entrepreneurs. You make a lot of money, you create value. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that capital flows to contribution. So Daryl, own that it's more than a 10 out of 10, because when you hardwire contribution every day to every hour you spend, capital flows to contribution. And it changes who we are.
Well, well said. So everyone listening, this is exactly why I brought him on the show. if he hasn't, nothing, bells should be going off for you too. Some of this stuff should be resonating. So that's awesome. And again, how did you help like develop this and put this together? You, I remember you saying that you've studied a lot of other entrepreneurs and to help you figure it out and almost create a roadmap for people.
Yeah. So Daryl, I, my career has been weird. So I, at 21 years old, I started working with an organization out of New York. And so I got really, really important and difficult to get accounts very young in my career. So one of the first accounts I had was Fuji. Then I'm working with Targus, computer carrying cases, Memorex, Canon, Logitech, and working with companies like Tech Data, Ingram Micro, BrandsMart, you know, some, everybody knows, like Radio Shack, Walmart, Best Buy. Being alongside the most successful people in the world, you start to see patterns. And you know, you start to see this fact that people like you and I are so constrained in the real world. In fact, the vast majority of the systems, the structure, the institutions in the world today are directly opposed to you and I. And I don't think that we recognize this, because it's like, here's what I know about every entrepreneur, you and me included. If we're in a bad situation, we will grin and bear it. And then once we're out, we never look back. And when I look at society systems today, they break us. And here's why. If I had to name like the one fundamental trait or attribute of a entrepreneurial personality type, it's that we are momentum based beings. We're momentum based. When I say momentum, do you have a physical reaction to it, Daryl?
Yeah. When you said that, it was a button. It definitely hit a button.
Tell me. So did you feel a physical response when I said that?
Yes. Well,
you did, right?
Yes.
You did. So you physically respond to momentum. You tell me, did you get a little cognitive boost? Like you had a little thought process that says, hey, what's going on there?
Well, I hate it when I feel like things like are stuck. Like I need to, if there's not progress in the day, I'll get, it's like what you said, like if we're in a bad situation, we're grin and bear it. I'm like, I won't sleep. Like I won't sleep until I get back on track.
You'll just keep doing it until you get out.
Right.
So here's, it's because we're momentum based. So here's what the rest of the world says to you and I. They say, hey, Daryl, you know, are you happy or sad? And here's the fact, like you and I don't even understand what that means. Now, and play with me.
Yeah.
Play with me.
No, I'm with you.
You know, but here, and for everybody else who's listening, they're like, great, this guy doesn't know what happy and sad is. Why is Daryl interviewing him? Well, here's the fact. There's contrast between happy and sad. Mm-hmm. But tell me the difference between sad, frustrated, confused, ticked off, pissed off, angry, and just plain not going to talk to you.
Right.
Is there a difference?
No, they're just degrees of energy. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I've had days, like I've noticed that it doesn't matter how I feel at the end of the day, my productivity often has nothing to do with how I feel about the day. I'll have days where I feel great and I look and I'm like, I got nothing done today. And
right.
You know, and then the exact opposite, days where I feel terrible and I'm like, man, today was a really productive day.
Right. And the fact is this, when we look at all of those words I just used, they mean nothing to you and I, right, because we don't understand all of that. We understand one thing, momentum. Mm-hmm. And when somebody says, Daryl, are you happy or sad or frustrated, confused or irritated? Here's what I know. Like, I'll take a guess, Daryl. Your whole life, people have told you, you don't feel right. You don't feel intensely enough. You're feeling too intense. You don't communicate your feelings right. Daryl, tell me how you're feeling. Why don't you communicate? Am I right?
Yeah, I get the intense one a lot. It works great at the gym and in business. Yeah.
How often has your confusion been mistaken as anger?
Oh, I don't know.
But often, right? How often are you just expressing frustration and the people around you go, hey, are you mad?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yep.
So, Daryl, here's the fact. When you're in momentum, right? We're momentum-based. We exist in three states. When you're in momentum, things are going your way. You're moving forward. You know what that feels like, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What does it feel like? It
feels great. It feels good. Once you feel like things are taking progress, you feel, I don't even know. That's happiness.
You feel like alive, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you physically enhanced, Daryl? You tell me, like, do you have a little more stamina, can go longer, can feel like you can do, okay. Are you cognitively enhanced? Do you make better decisions, higher level of awareness, higher level of clarity? Okay. Here's the big one. Are you chemically enhanced? You get a little high. You have a little bit of like optimism. You're kind of walking around a little bit of a better place, right?
Yeah.
So momentum physically, cognitively, and chemically enhances us. Mm. That's how momentum-based we are. Mm. So now let's look at the second state that we exist in, facing resistance. It's when the world shows up and says, hey, you know, the cards are on the table. It's stacked against you. There's a lot you've got to put up with here. Now, Daryl, you tell me, have you had times in your life where the cards are stacked against you? Everything's coming at you. That's when you showed up and created momentum anyway.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Heck.
Okay. Okay. So shit, man, we are so momentum based that when things are going good, we create momentum. Mm-hmm. When things are going bad, we create momentum. Mm-hmm. Now here's the third state. And this is the one that just doesn't work, because when we are in constraint, when we're held in place, when we can't move forward, when life or the world or the situation of the people around us conspire against us to hold us in place, and we can't move, Daryl, what does that feel like?
Yeah, well, that's extremely frustrating.
But be honest, like, what does it really feel like? It's extremely frustrating is about the cleanest way to say it. What does it really feel like when you're out?
Well, it's probably very traumatic to feel.
It's traumatic, trauma. Yeah. So you tell me, when you're held in place, physically, do you break down?
I think you do. You've
gotten sick, right?
All the signs of depression come through.
Yeah. So physically you're challenged. What about cognitively? You're held in place. You're constrained. You're not thinking clearly, right?
Yep. Definitely.
Okay. And then the third one, chemically.
Yep. Oh, for sure.
Okay. So Daryl, people like you and I, the strengths we have, how we exist in the world, the momentum we create, that is who we are. And the challenge is when the world or when we hold ourselves in constraint, we look broken. Uh-huh. So the same person, me, who can create million-dollar companies and go on Fox News and CNBC and speak with Tony Robbins and do all of those things, when I'm held in place, when there's constraint, when I can't see the outlet, I'm bipolar, I'm depressed, I'm manic, I'm narcissistic, I'm all of those things. Uh-huh. All the labels that have been made up to talk about people like you and I in constraint. You know, and at the end of the day, all of those things are groupings of symptoms brought up by constraint, because you know that you've had all the symptoms of depression and bipolar mania and narcissism and all of those things on a 10 out of 10 in the moment when you were constrained.
Right.
And unfortunately, the vast majority of psychological diagnosis today, and I'm talking in the upper 90 percentile, is the misdiagnosis of EPTs in constraint. Because here's the fact, you can't have a disease one day and then not have it the next. You can't have the symptoms one day and not have it the next. We're diagnosing the life condition of EPTs.
Yep. Because you don't lose Lou Gehrig's disease.
No. If you go to 10 doctors and 10 doctors will tell you have diabetes, you go to 10 psychiatrists, you're going to get 10 different diagnoses with 10 courses of treatment. That's not science. It's a joke. Yeah, Modern psychology is just, it's like pop science.
Well, it's one of the only few, like, they don't actually really even look at the organ. It's one of the few medical kind of arts that doesn't, or medical sciences that doesn't really even examine.
Let's go a little further, Daryl, because you know what? Here's what I know. You get a lot of entrepreneurs listening, right?
Correct.
Way more than half of entrepreneurs have been told they're broken, damaged, disordered, disabled, or something else.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So when you say they don't even look at the brain, let's really talk about what psychiatry does. When you feel a feeling, you feel it in your body or your head first, Daryl?
Ooh, body.
Body 100% of the time, right?
Yes.
So your body is the instrument through which you interpret the world. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So psychiatrists don't understand that for people like us, because entrepreneurial personality types, you and I, are physiologically sensitive, momentum-based beings. So we feel momentum in our bodies. And so when we're burdened, when we have a bad reaction, we feel that pain, that issue, that challenge in our bodies. Like when you're short on cash, isn't it tightness in your chest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So when, it is, right?
Yeah.
Like shortness of cash is tightness in chest. That's exactly how it works, right? So we don't realize that our bodies are the instrument through which we interpret all of the world and create our greater contribution. So that's the misnomer, because here's what happens to people like us. When we're stressed, when we burn our currencies, we have five currencies: cash, time, effort, energy, and focus. You max those out, you put yourself in full constraint, and you can't move forward. We hold ourselves in place. And so for people like us, that's that constraint mode where we cannot go forward.
And you're saying it's self-inflicted.
a lot of the time. You know, a lot of the time it can be self-inflicted or not, but here's what I know. If most entrepreneurs stopped fighting to try to do everything else and all they did was focus on creating momentum, it would change their lives. And we have this equation we share with entrepreneurs, Daryl, and it really does change things. See, what we just went through, the fact that your body is the instrument through which you interpret the world, I've watched that with all of my clients that ended up in the billion-dollar range. And here's why I bring that up. And people say, like, why do you talk about billionaires so much? It's unrelatable. But the fact is this. Look, it's really relatable. Because anybody who operates in the extremes demonstrates a ton. And so I worked with very wealthy people for a long time, still do. And here's the equation we came up with. Because when you coach people who are at the top of their game, who some of them who don't really read because they're dyslexic, some they have tons of stuff going on, you need shortcuts. So we needed one master shortcut we could train all of our clients. What is it besides being momentum-based? And we call it the contribution equation. I joke around with people, Daryl, that for entrepreneurial personality types, this is the meaning of life. But I'm not really kidding.
Okay.
So, and I really am not. So you can tell me whether you think what you think. But so it's a four-step process. So the first part of the equation is simple. As entrepreneurial personality types, we need to lower pressure and noise. Step one, lower pressure and noise. And here's what that means. Our bodies feel everything. So pressure and noise in one place in our life is pressure and noise everywhere. So we lower our sugar intake. We hydrate. We eat nutritionally. You treat yourself like a professional athlete. You have a moral responsibility to because you're capable of anything. You're an entrepreneur. You get your body, your mentality, your relationships in shape. You lower pressure and noise by understanding how much money you have. You remove ambiguity from your life. You get in shape. You start looking at where you want to go. Ask yourself the questions that are going to move you forward. That lowers pressure and noise. That's step one. Step two is so hard because all of us have figured out some strategies for one. We isolate, we read, we pull away, we go with friends, we do something to lower pressure and noise. Some of us drink, some of us smoke, you know, there's something we have. But step two, and I'm not recommending drinking or smoking, I'm just saying we're doing it.
Right.
Step two is critical. You ask for and offer protection and support. So lower pressure and noise, ask for and offer protection and support. Because here's what I know about entrepreneurs. The way we grew up, the kid who asks too many questions, who's restless, can't sit still, wants to do more, does one of two things, either games the system or survives the system, and usually it's a little bit of both. But in no case were we taught to ask for help. In fact, what we were taught repeatedly was ask for help means you're weak. Ask for help means get in trouble. Ask for help means get told to sit down. So we don't ask for help. We don't ask for protection and support. And as entrepreneurs, we do silly things like delegate, which means I'm going to just give you my work. When the fact is, if we said honestly and transparently, here's how I'm feeling, here's where I need help, we would have everything we needed. The third step, and now this is an interesting one. You lower pressure and noise, increase protection and support. Strengths and abilities show. They just show up. And it's just crazy because most training in the world revolves around, let me show you some strengths and abilities, some tactics, some stuff. But when you lower pressure and noise in your life, you increase protection and support. It's crazy. Every entrepreneur in history will tell you strengths they didn't have just showed up. And I know that's happened for you, Daryl. We've all become, because you know what happens is we put ourselves in momentum. We become cognitively, physically, chemically enhanced. Our strengths show up. We get better. And if you work on them a little bit, they get even better. So step one is lower pressure and noise. Step two, increase protection and support. Step three, strengths and abilities show. And step four, you make your greatest contribution. Because what is it that all of us really want to do with our lives? You know, right now, so many entrepreneurs are caught up in between the question, what do I do with my life and what do I do today? And we all want to make this incredible contribution. And the fastest way to get there is to lower pressure and noise. You increase awareness, ask for protection and support. You create that structure around you that will act as the infrastructure to match your contribution. And it doesn't have to be a ton. Jesus of Nazareth only needed 12. And look at what he did. Right?
Yep.
And strengths and abilities show like crazy, and then contribution. And every theology says the same thing. Lower pressure and noise. You know, every theology says things like, you know, covet the neighbor. That's going to raise pressure and noise. Take care of your body. Your body's a temple. Honor thyself. You know, confession and live like who you are. Be who you are. That lowers pressure and noise. The second step, protection and support. Every theology says work together, honor each other, don't judge each other, be together, offset each other. That's in every single book if you've read them. And you know what every book says? They really say no bullshit. You will be gifted. Everything you need, you will have. The skills you need will show up. And then they say, if you do these things, this is when you have the privilege of making your greatest contribution. And Daryl, if every theology says it, you can also look at every entrepreneur. They say things like, hey, lower pressure noise, tell people who you are, be honest, be transparent, tell them what you want to accomplish, take it, go, fail fast, go further, go faster, talk sooner. Do you know? You've heard this, right? Step two, they say, hey, tell everyone around you what's really going on. Ask for protection and support. Be transparent. Be who you are. Because if you do, like me, you'll have all these skills. You'll do things you never thought were possible. And you'll make a contribution, because every entrepreneur at the end of their career calls back to those at the beginning and says, hey, at the end, you're going to want to make a contribution. Start there. So I really do think that's who we are.
Wow. Well, that's very impactful. So I've taken notes. I don't know if anyone was listening to that, if they were taking notes, but you may want to replay this and get your pen out and write a couple of pages of notes, because that's great stuff. I mean, everything, I can relate to it all. I mean, the whole lowering pressure and noise, you're right. I mean, when I get up in the morning and I have a great start and I eat right and I go to the gym and I get momentum going, and especially I work my body, I just have amazing days. I've built up so much momentum. I've lowered the pressure and noise that the rest of my day just flows so much better. And like we talked about before, like when I first did my first multi-million-dollar campaign with a client, it was when I had a team to support me. And it was the first time I'd been able to do that, because before it was the whole, I got to do it on my own. No one will work as hard as me. No one understands my vision, you know, type thing. And that was when I was able to use my strengths and abilities to help create this multi-million dollar campaign, which is really, like, the testimonials are real, right? I mean, those are real people's lives being affected, and that's the greatest contribution. So
no question. And Daryl, you know what's so interesting is we all have been trained to work on our own, to isolate, to be independent,
right?
And when I hear you talking about working on a team, I hear, like, there's this fire in your voice, there's this energy, right? Because working with people, the contribution's amazing. And the fact is, you know, we've been taught our whole lives that we don't need to work with other people, that we don't need to surround ourselves. But the fact is that no entrepreneur accomplishes anything alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we learn nothing standing still. So build a team or join a team and go fast.
Yeah.
You know, and the soon, and here's what I want everyone to hear. When an entrepreneur commits to being a solopreneur or to being independent or to doing any of those things, you know, there's this badge of honor these days with being alone. And you even hear people saying, like, oh yeah, I made X number of dollars by myself, or I did this by myself. And, you know, guys, that's okay. It's okay to start out that way.
Right.
But the fact is, you got to start somewhere. But there's this transition that entrepreneurs go through that will change your life. When you start working with a team, when you see them offset what you're doing, when you see the greater overall momentum created by people working together, changes everything. And I always tell, you know, Daryl, for you personally, making a contribution, you already told us it's way further than a 10 out of 10, right?
Right.
Entrepreneurs will have the greatest effect on the people that they're closest to proximally. So the greatest contribution you will ever have as an entrepreneur is the effect you have on your team. You know, and if more entrepreneurs just looked at it that way, here's what would happen. They'd have a lot more successful companies, because we think we're growing this thing called a company, and we put time into it and we think about it. It becomes like this relative of ours. But the fact is that as entrepreneurs, when we look at our people and we grow the people around us and we grow our ability to work and communicate with them, and we have a playing field that creates success for them, we develop the people around us. And Daryl, I watched people build billion-dollar companies. Not $1 million here, not $100 million, but $1 billion. And that's a modern day empire. And I didn't watch this once. I watched it a whole bunch of times. 5, 6, 7 of my friends have done this. And here's what I can tell you. At that level, you are dealing almost completely with helping people. Because when you're $1 billion, you have to trust everyone around you. When you're $1 billion, you have to really know how to relate to people, to talk to people. You sit at the tip of the iceberg of this massive empire, and decision making is based almost 100% on who is in front of me and do I trust them? So for us now, right now, what if we start realizing we want to make a contribution, and the greatest one we'll make is the people who are on our team? We will think completely differently about building the infrastructure through which we will make our contribution.
You know, and that's an interesting concept, because, you know, that was the old school model, was growing your people, and you grow from within and you invest in your people, and, you know, and especially for your staff and your team members, your employees, they have a ladder to climb, right? They can grow and take on higher roles, higher responsibilities. And I forget who it was, but there's something called the Peter Principle that came out, and that's, I feel like that's kind of changed things a bit. And I forget who, but it was a big paper, maybe it was some like Harvard Review or someone published a paper, but I know a lot of companies got away from that and they started hiring specifically for roles, because the concept of the Peter Principle is you promote people to their highest level of incompetence.
You know what does that, Daryl? Corporations. Big corporations where there's no entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, here's what I can tell you. Like, I've worked with some of the most successful living entrepreneurs there are. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of that sitting around them. Mm. When I go up to Remax and I sit down with Dave Liniger, and I'm on the 12th floor of the largest building in Denver, and we're looking at the mountains over his shoulder, and I'm in his executive suite, there's nobody who shouldn't be there.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And the fact is, you get into like a Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
That is one of the most incompetent, horrible.
Yes.
That should be sold for parts. Like, what a, they, oh. You know, like,
I did consulting for them in Tokyo. Yeah, no, it's, yeah.
We should be firebombing them, but I'm not at all like saying that people should be violent. I'm saying that theoretically, if there was a firebombing target, Johnson & Johnson would make a fantastic one. Not the people, the company. Don't hurt it.
Right.
And it's because, you know, these large corporations just, they operate so broken, and they do horrible things. And the fact is, in an entrepreneurial company, you will have the greatest effect on your team. And the contribution, if you want to make a larger contribution, you need more leverage than yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, at the highest level of entrepreneurship or of anything, the people who we respect usually do one thing, like really one thing. You look at Richard Branson. What does he do? He handles like the relationships for Virgin. You look at Taylor Swift. I've watched that kid, man. She gets on stage and lights it up. You know, and what's the difference? They both run empires.
Yep.
And they're doing one thing. And you know, I think for us, figuring out what we do best, surrounding ourselves with a team, receiving that protection and support, it moves us forward as who we are. It allows us to create the contribution we're supposed to create. Because, Daryl, there's no way there's a whole class of human being that was put on this earth to make a contribution, wanting to help everyone, and there isn't a purpose. You know, the fact is we share that the entrepreneurial personality type is a subpopulation that's been missed by modern science. This has shown up throughout history. You know, you look at every explorer, conqueror, every leader, every person who said, let's go over that mountain. Let's see what happens if we try this. You know, every new scientist, mathematician, the people who did new, the people who did next, those were entrepreneurs. And the fact is that every single one of us has felt isolated, alone, cast off, cast away, a party of one. And like we couldn't get support, like we didn't have support, like we didn't have a club. And some of us even tried to join them. We paid. We looked for acceptance. We couldn't find it. And here's the fact, is that the systems in society today teach us that we're different. They tell us to push ourselves away from other people. They isolate us, I would say, on purpose. Because no one wants a big group of the people who want to change things, improve things, modify the status quo, and move everyone forward to hang out together. Because the fact is that the rest of the world, the people who don't have our personality type, cling desperately to the status quo and want to keep things the same.
Yes.
And you know, Daryl, you can't turn it off. You want to fix things. All of us have that restaurant we walk into. We've redesigned it within 5 minutes of being there. You can't turn it off. Right?
Yep.
So here's what I want everyone listening, including you, Daryl, to know. If you look back throughout history and you think of everyone's name who matters to be remembered, everyone's name who you ever cared about, every hero you had, I know who they were for me. I heard Einstein couldn't read till he was four. That guy was like me. I heard Aristotle had trouble talking when he was younger. I knew he was like me. I heard Benjamin Franklin got kicked out of school. I knew he was like me. I knew Thomas Edison was considered retarded. He was like me. Because see, have you heard who I've named? Mm-hmm. Every one of these people was considered fundamentally broken. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that for everyone listening, for you and for me, for all of us, whoever felt like we didn't have a place, I want you to understand one thing. The only consistent source of human evolution in the history of man has been and always will be the entrepreneur. And for all of you who have felt like you didn't have a club, you were isolated, didn't have a place to belong, I want you to know this is your club. And every person who was significant in history is like you. And the equation that society has today that doesn't look the same, doesn't read the same, doesn't sound the same as anyone else, equals a broken person that should be corrected, is an absolute misinterpretation of the equation that society should see and history proves, which is broken person doesn't look like everyone else, doesn't show up like everyone else, looks different, equals brilliance. Mm. We're different because we should be. And that's who we are.
Alex, I love your message. I love your message. So well said. And you have a great radio voice. Has anyone told you that?
Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah, that is so well said. And I think everyone on this call is very much resonating with you right now. I think you've hit on a lot of points that a lot of people have experienced. And so what do you recommend to people? I mean, I guess you already gave that's a silly question. You recommend the four steps: lower pressure, yeah, noise, ask for protection, ask and offer protection support, let your strengths and abilities show, and almost play to them. Is that kind of what the third step is?
Absolutely. You know what, man? Do what you like. Yeah. That whole joke that people say, like, if you do what you like, you won't work a day in your life, and then nobody ever does it. Daryl, you know that you and I are enjoying the shit out of this right now.
Yes.
You know? Like, why would I do anything else?
Yeah.
And so I make sure that every single day, most of my day are things that I like, and I have a team that surrounds me. And you want to hear the craziest thing of all? All of the stuff I can't stand doing, there's someone in this building who loves it.
Yeah.
So we go fast. You know, we go fast. And I would recommend that people connect with people like us and start recognizing that you're different, but you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone. You know, we have this Facebook group, and I know you're in it, Daryl. Mm-hmm. If you go to wearept.com, so we have a quick redirect to Entrepreneurial Personality Type Facebook group. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information there, and you can kind of start to understand who you are.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Can you give the URL? We are EPT, which stands for EntrepreneurialPersonalityType.com. We are EPT.com. And that'll redirect you to the Facebook group. I'm in there. Yeah, definitely in there. A lot of big names are in there. You're in there. You're posting all the videos all the time, all day, every day. So,
yeah.
And you're always showing off your watches. Like James Bond. I keep waiting for like some sort of next, like, what's the next go-go gadget watch going to be like? Because, like, check this. I hit this button and a rocket ship takes off. Look at this. I hit.
You know what, Daryl? Here's who I am, man. I share every bit of being an entrepreneur. I have a lot of cars. And you know why? Because entrepreneurs love cars. When we were kids, the first time you could like go outside by yourself and run, that was no constraint. That was momentum. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And the first time you twisted the key to a car, you and I both know what it meant. Freedom.
Yes.
You know, freedom. I have watches because I think they're an expression of entrepreneurial, incredible excellence. Like, how do people come up with an automatic watch that sits on my wrist, makes noise, keeps time, knows the date, knows the time, and doesn't even have a battery?
Yeah.
You know, those things amaze me. So I'm like bewildered by them. So, and I share them. I think there's a lot of people who buy watches, put them in a safe. And, you know, I buy watches and cars and I drive them and wear them. And I, you know, I don't.
Why would you buy a car to put in a showroom? That's
no kidding, man. For me, there is no shame in being an entrepreneur and having what I have and twisting the key to a fast car gives me momentum. I come here, I work with my team. We make a massive contribution. There's no shame in that. Mm-hmm. I think all of us should be that way.
No. Oh, it's good. It's a lot to take in. You're going to want to listen to this call a couple of times, people. That's for sure. Do you have any resources that you would recommend? We've got the Facebook group.
Absolutely, Daryl. We have two events in January, and we're going to do them all next year, but January 2016. Okay. We have grand openings that start on the 11th and the 25th. They're 2-day events. There would normally be $5,000. We're doing them for $1,000. They're in our new purpose-built office with our new presentation space, only about 50 or 60 people each one. Mm-hmm. That would be huge. And then if you can't make one of those, come and see us in Austin. Spend a day with us. Mm. Let us show you your personality type. And here's the three goals. You come, you'll understand yourself better, understand limiting behavior, and create ongoing momentum. And we do it with everyone from startups to billionaires. We can do it with you.
URL again?
Our URL is Scharfen, just C-H-A-R-F as in Frank, E-N.com.
Scharfen.com. And then the one for the Facebook group.
WeareEPT.com.
WeareEPT. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Daryl, I'll make this offer to you. If there's a lot of questions or you get a lot of feedback or more information, a request for more information, I'll be happy to come back and record with you anytime, brother. This has been awesome.
Yeah. No, it's always an honor and a pleasure to just to connect with like-minded people. And people are just, again, out to make a big contribution and will help me, help them, and help everyone else get momentum. So.
Yeah, absolutely. This is awesome.
Yeah, no, this is exactly what I wanted. So, Alex, it's been an honor and a pleasure. Is there anything I should have asked you that I haven't asked you?
I don't think so, Joe. You know, Daryl, I think that I was just going to say there's one thing that we always tell all entrepreneurs, and I know this sounds like a joke, but I'm serious. There's nothing wrong with you, and you are not alone. And we say that because for all of us, the easiest thing to identify is our deficits. I mean, I am incompetent in most situations, but when we, and people think I'm kidding about that, but I'm really not. You can ask my team.
And like they'll tell you about it all day.
They'll tell you, you know, and the fact is this though, if we focus on what's wrong with us, we will spend our entire life trying to make corrections. Mm-hmm. And instead, if we focus on what is good and what we like and where our strengths are and what gives us momentum, we will never make a correction. We will only make a contribution. Mm. So stop trying to correct yourselves. Lean into momentum. You know who you are, and there is nothing wrong with you.
So well said. Mm. Alex, it has been an honor and a pleasure. I am very, very proud to call you a friend, and we will most definitely have you back again in the future.
Thanks, Daryl. This has been awesome.
You've reached the end of our interview. Now, first, let me thank you for listening. I appreciate and respect you more than you'll ever know. And now I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. First, what three lessons did you just learn? What three aha moments just jumped out at you? Second, what can you implement for yourself and your business in the next 24 hours? Third, what can you give to someone else to help you with, or give them to just do it for you? Whatever it is, remember, taking action is the secret sauce to results. Now, if you think this interview would be helpful for a friend, please give them a link to it. It'll help them and it'll help me too. I'd also like to invite you to help me find out more about the challenges you're facing, your dreams, your goals, and how I can help you overcome what's holding you back. We both do better when we know better. And your success is my success. So please reach out and interact. You can visit our website, bestbusinesscoach.ca for Canada or California, where I'm from and where I'm living. You're welcome to also try out one of our paid programs. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and pretty much every other social media channel you can think of. You should also subscribe to the podcast. And if you're enjoying them, please leave us a nice review. It really helps. That's all for now. Once again, thank you. Take care of yourself, and remember, the world needs the best business you can build. And I believe in you.